Thank you for tuning in to this week's Just Ball Things. If you're catching us on the podcast, remember to give us a rating and review. And now, on with the show.
Shut up and sit down.
This week on Just Ball Things. Your wish has finally come true, JBT fans. This is the episode where Jack and I talk solely about the playoffs. With the first game of the first round done and dusted, we'll be recapping them all, going in-depth in each game to bring you everything you need. So shut up, sit down, because this playoff edition of JBT is about to begin. Good morning, afternoon, or evening, from wherever you're listening across the world. Welcome to this episode of Just Ball Things.
What day is it?
I know, What's going on here? Weird, isn't it?
Where am I?
It is a Monday afternoon, late afternoon.
Yeah.
I have the day off from work.
Yeah! After working. Do you have an applause one?
No. That's close to
Making money though, Nick! I guess we're
I am, like, because I worked.
I
worked last weekend, so
I feel like we all know more about Nick's business ventures than like basketball from this podcast.
Utilizing my time in lieu, so might even be lucky enough to get Friday off.
Ooh, or we might do another one.
Might do another playoff podcast, non-traditional podcast. None of this.
Ooh.
None of this?
Oh, no. What?
How about we play the basketball?
I want to play the basketball.
And I don't even know if people know what that is. But none of that either.
All right, so we'll just do some shitty...
This is just riffing.
All right, I love it. We'll recap in the game.
First round of the playoffs is done and dusted.
First game.
Yeah.
First round is seven.
Yeah.
There's seven. It's a best of seven series.
Is it?
Oh, yeah. It's.
I'm new.
It used to be five. Now it's changed to seven in the previous decade or so.
Well, then what's this March Madness I'm hearing about?
different thing, mate. We don't talk about March. It's April
first,
now.
First game of the playoffs, done and dusted, in the books. And we're just going to systematically go through it.
Chronologically.
Yeah, just...
I don't know how systematically we'll be about it, because for those that have listened to us more than once, or even if this is your first time, you've probably said by the... How long have we been? 3 minutes. How unorthodox we are about it. But we're going to go through the first game, which was an absolute blowout in Oakland. The Spurs 92 to the Warriors 113-21 point winners. Danny Green couldn't contain KD. Draymond was doing some nice things defensively. Klay was absolutely lights out from the field. Literally, like, there was 13 lights and 11 of them were out. Only two of them were left on. He was 11 of 13 from the field. The Spurs just couldn't get... They just went on. Yeah. Simple as that, Nick. What were your thoughts?
It's just amazing how well, you know, we compare Cavs and Warriors with this ability to flip a switch come the playoffs. And we just saw it from the from the Warriors. I'm getting my teams confused.
They're both good teams.
They are both good teams.
Yeah.
We just saw it here from the start. Warriors playing tremendous offensive basketball and defensive as well to keep the Spurs
I think that's the real key defensively. I mean, the Spurs don't have a huge amount of firepower, obviously, without Kawhi, who was officially ruled out for the playoffs and this round at least, but. The comments that we were back and forthing about quite a bit were obviously Draymond's comments in the post-game conference, where he was saying, you know, people were sort of forgetting what we're capable of. Mm-hmm. You know, he said, like, you know, we're without Steph, people writing us off. We've been without KD before. We've been out without
And if we would oppose this as abusing Manuel, it would be, are the Spurs underrated? Were the Spurs underappreciated in the regular season, I guess?
Okay, yeah.
And I'm a firm fact.
Yes.
And you are
You are fake news.
You're just fake news.
Okay, Nick, on our last pod, we said, will the Spurs give them a fry? And we both said yes.
Yes.
Obviously, game one in a seven-game series, there weren't many frights happening at all. It was all lovey-dovey. It was like an Anna Faris film. There were no scares at all. She was in a scary movie, wasn't she?
Yes.
Yeah. And that wasn't a scary movie.
That wasn't a scary movie.
The antithesis. I feel like that makes the point even better.
Exactly, yeah.
But yeah, do you honestly, like, we watched the video together that was posted on Sports Illustrated and, you know, the post-game conference with Draymond, and he's all of his points were valid up until the point where he said people don't know what we're capable of. Last episode, we said that Draymond has this sort of... I don't know if we said it on the episode or if we said it off wax, how Draymond has to, like, manufacture, like, you know, confidence... not confidence, motivation. And
some of the greatest players did that.
Yeah, I know. We said that. But, like, in this sense, I agree with all of his comments, apart from the fact that people forgot what we're capable of. Now, Nick, what did you say in relation to that? Because you made good points, and I do believe you.
Well, we spoke about this on our podcast, saying, you know, the Warriors have given us every reason to doubt them this year. They, the last week of the regular season, they weren't playing well. Their stats were all down, net rating, defensive rating, offensive rating. They just weren't the Warriors that we knew and love. Granted, it's the last week of the season. They were in cruise control.
Yeah.
They finished with the third best record in the NBA, second in the West.
Yeah.
Again, not very Warriors-esque. It doesn't scream. It doesn't have their traits.
Yeah.
So when they go into the playoffs, we rightly so think, oh, maybe these guys aren't the same. Like, they've lost that spark. They've lost that drive.
Yeah.
And so when Draymond comes out and says, hey, people have forgotten what we're capable of, that's what I think he's in reference to.
But, like, forgotten what we're capable of. It's like, have we not been watching basketball for the past four seasons and seen how dynastically good this Warriors team is? Some people, like...
Unfortunately, the general... populace. The general populace don't adhere and don't, you know, sit on ESPN and read valid articles. Yeah, exactly. They are less informed. They get their information from...
Skip. Shannon.
Yes.
Cowherd.
From...
They're fake news, Nick.
Yeah, well, yeah, from entertaining news outlets.
Talking heads.
Yeah, talking heads.
And like, they don't, obviously, we know...
So these are the guys who are sort of...
ever-present in the media.
Who are berating down on these...
Yeah.
Insecurities, I guess.
Yep, yeah, they're very hot takey. I mean, I guess that's quite rich coming. That's the pot calling the kettle black coming from us. But, you know... I get what Draymond's saying, and, you know, he's an awesome player, but, you know, just sometimes there's players that just irk me, and he's just one of those guys.
It seems like the best parts of these games came after the game, with Draymond's comments and then Pop's comments afterwards.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, do you think Jeff Green worked on Kevin Durant?
Danny Green.
It's like, Danny Green?
Yeah.
Do you watch the game?
Yeah.
what do you think?
Well, I think he needs to grow an extra 5 inches by the next
game.
Yeah,
and tell Kevin Durant to not be as good.
Yeah.
He's a brilliant man.
He is. Some people are getting a bit annoyed, but, you know, it's part of Pop's charm, I guess.
Yeah.
But before we move on, the Warriors had 32 assists on 44 field goals. Mm. Warriors at their best offensively is when that ball is moving, the assists are high. Even without Steph, you know, that's...
That's Draymond's role, I guess. I mean, he led eight assists.
And 23...
11 assists, mate.
And 20, yeah, 23 of those assists came in the third quarter when they had a huge, huge game. They were just... And yeah, they won six straight playoff openers via ESPN. So, Warriors look to be... are we changing our predictions here, Nick? I think we both had Warriors in five.
I'm sticking with them. Yeah. I still think the fright will be there. I still think
probably
Spurs...
Game three or game four when it goes back to San Antonio.
LaMarcus did not shoot well today. Like, God, 40%. Mills will have more of an impact.
Home crowd is always so much better.
Yeah, of course. I mean, Mills only took five shots today. Two or five.
Yeah,
he is a guy who, when he's on, they'll win.
Yeah,
presuming that everyone else isn't off.
Yeah, well, that, like, you make a good point.
Mills isn't going to carry this team, but if he can be that X, factor.
Yep,
guy who's firing and then can just push him over the line, just in one game. But it's still a firm Warriors win in my books. Next one here, mate.
Yes, your Wizards.
My boys.
No, Nick, I was not up early enough for this one. You obviously will mm-hmm. wake up rain, hail, or shine, whatever it is for your Wiz.
Yep.
So I
unless
sort of...
it's the 4 a.m. game, then I reckon I'll give it a miss. But this one was 7:30. It was just
on the fringes. But yep. the Wizards had them for a stretch.
For a while. We hoped, we believed. It was more... when we were playing well, they just had answers.
Yeah.
We had runs where we'd go, you know, maybe six ahead. We had a little stretch in the second, I think it was second half or maybe early first half.
Yep.
Where we would bring it back to a very respectable level. Mm-hmm. They blew it out a little bit, and then we just came fighting back, playing great basketball, great offense, and getting stops. Oh, but then they'd find a way, they'd hit some clutch threes.
CJ Miles, Delonte Wright.
CJ Miles was a killer. Even DeRozan.
Remember CJ Miles when we went to. You have some
when
great
he was
memories
at
of him.
Indiana.
I know, and he did it again to you.
And that wasn't against the Wizards. Wait, was it against the Wizards?
It was against the Wizards.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, he killed us
He's
that game.
He's not been friendly to you over the years.
It was just a game we couldn't get ahead. Where we played well, they just played better.
Yeah.
In those stretches of the game, and then towards the end they hit some brilliant shots down the stretch just to get out that lead, and then our bench unit came on.
We talked at length about the Raptors bench unit and how the effect that they would have in this series, and it was shown already in game one. For the record, the Toronto Raptors are off to a winning start in the playoff series, game one, for the first time in 17 years. So they've finally got that monkey off their back, to say the least. You know, what the stars weren't there for the Raptors. You know, DeRozan was good, not great.
From I don't know about stats. I haven't checked his
impact,
actual box score.
Impact wise, who was it? Who was the main guy?
It felt like DeRozan and Lowry, like just from a feel.
Yeah.
DeRozan's shots that he made felt like they came at such pivotal moments of the game that changed the game in their favor.
Yeah.
From a Wizards perspective, I mean, you can't really ask for any more production out of our four starters.
Yeah.
Wall was a little bit disappointing. He had a few drives late game.
Yeah.
Like there was a stretch in the last few minutes where we got two very impressive defensive stops on them. Wall goes blazing down court and blows two layups.
Yeah.
And that would have brought us within four.
Yeah.
And so it was after those plays when I think there was about a minute 30 and we were down by nine. It's hard to get back from there. But I mean, from a Raptors perspective, it just felt that, DeRozan and Lowry were the key driving forces in that, even if the stats
didn't. Barker was good as well, 23 points for him. I feel like, just the overall talent and the form team. You know, it wasn't the prettiest of games. Game ones never normally really are. We can't all
it's
be
a,
the
It's
Warriors.
A feel-out game, if you
yeah,
to quote LeBron.
And we can't all be the Sixers. And I mean, we'll get to that performance, which is absolutely otherworldly. But, Nick, you confident going into game two? You reckon you can steal one before we move on?
I think we can steal one. If we can get a little bit more production out of... a little bit more efficiency out of Wall.
Yep.
It's going to be tough. There's no doubt about it, because coupled with a good performance like from us, Raptors have to play bad.
Yeah.
So it's a two-pronged, it's a two-forked snake.
Yes.
I'm very bad at my proverbs.
Two-forked snake.
You know the forked tongues?
Yes.
I don't know what I'm
saying. Two-forked. But okay.
Two-pronged, it's two, I don't know what the cream is in the pudding, Jack. The cream is in the pudding.
Yeah, I love Mr. Pudding. I love it, eat the pudding. But Nick, what's the next game we're going to, mate?
Heat Sixers.
Heat Sixers.
Teased it a bit before.
I did.
This was tremendous. I'd love, Sixers are my second team.
Yeah.
I love the way they play. Redick is a joy to watch, having an absolute career year this year.
Did you see the moment where he like nailed a three, and then Robert Covington goes to lead him for like the high five, and JJ just immediately liked him like, no, look. And he was like locked in, engaged. Like he had that Clippers sort of like CP3 mentality. He's a leader there. He's mentioned the fact that how much he was happy to be here and that they were aiming to actually do something this season. He's been huge. Their three-point shooting was absolutely ridiculous. Ursan Ilyasova, Marco Bellinelli.
They hit a franchise record or something with the amount of threes that they hit.
What have we got over there, Nicky boy?
How many threes did they hit? Hold on. You keep talking.
Go right. So, like, they were such important factors. Their team performance.
28 threes for the game.
28 threes for the game. Was it 18 for 28 from the field?
Their percentage was 64% from...
And the number next one, 18 of 28. So, yeah, to be over 60%...
Oh, they took 28 threes.
Yes.
My mistake.
18 of 28.
Still, that's a ridiculous percentage. 66%.
64%, which is phenomenal.
Yeah.
And it was probably the key reason why they won the game. The Heat obviously couldn't find their three-point shot with Wayne Ellington. The game looked quite close in the first half. I'm watching it. You know, players were sort of feeling themselves out. Ben Simmons was just... He put his stamp on the game. You know, we saw Donovan Mitchell. Obviously, we'll speak about that one. But Ben Simmons was just the leader out there. He controlled proceedings. He was just... It's like he's a veteran in today's league. He was the guy that, you know, if you're giving the game ball to someone, yes, you know, there were guys that were lights out like Bellinelli and these shooters, but the impact Ben Simmons had on this game, he made his free throws as well. You know, he's not normally a great... I think he's like something like 60%. 60% or less. I think he's like 56% from the field, from the free throw line this year. But he's something like 7 of 10, I believe. Yeah. So, you know, that's obviously a key cog as well. So, great game from him and an overall perfect performance from the Sixers.
They've got just such a well-tuned team for the style of play that they're going for. Some of the shots that Redick and Bellinelli are hitting, off the dribble, off balance, moving threes, I that's not really complimentary to their system. It's just complimentary to how fantastic these guys are shooting.
Oh yeah,
especially this year. But I don't think when you're shooting 66% from three, there is no chance in hell you can win this game. So Heat did well in a sort of competitive sense. They kept it within 10 for a while.
Yeah. Then they got blown out in that second half. You know, they got outscored 74-43 in that second half.
It was the last quarter. When it was I think about 10, maybe 12 points, the benches came out. Like, it exacerbated the scoreline.
Yeah, and it was closer than the
final
scoreboard.
Yeah, 27 points.
One little tidbit that I'm sure Heat fans will be wondering. Hassan Whiteside's impact, Nicholas, it was barely there, if any. And you'd expect him to be more of a presence, obviously, when Joel Embiid's not there. But in this case, the Sixers went with that small ball lineup, playing like Ersan Ilyasova at the five, taking out Amir Johnson. And it just spaced the floor absolutely perfectly for a guy like Ben Simmons. I'm sure LeBron would love that situation. So, I mean, Hassan's impact was not felt at all. And I'm sure he would have had some words behind closed doors, like he did against my Nets a couple of weeks ago. So it's certainly interesting for a guy who, you know, is a well-paid center, one of the a relatively good, you know, defensive force when it comes to blocks. But he was just played off the floor by a team that just spaced the floor like no other.
Yeah, two blocks from him on that game, which is all right. For a guy who possibly made his career off that aspect, though, it's probably a bit waning. Only 6 rebounds from himself as well.
Yeah. He only played like 8 minutes or something.
12 minutes. Yeah, he was essentially played off the floor.
Bam Adebayo, the rookie.
People like Olenek, which is a more traditional small center. And he had a fantastic game. Like, he's
26 points. Yeah,
he's continuing from his playoff
Kelly.
Exactly. Like, he's
broke your heart.
Yeah, he's an amazing player, Kelly. Like, very, very
fits very well with Miami. Mm. Super well.
And players like Justice Winslow as well had a good game for Heat. Watching it, stats. I think he only got 9 points.
Yeah,
but the Heat weren't making
their threes. The Sixers would make them pay. Their transition offense with Ben Simmons. But Ben Simmons gets a rebound, you'd better be scared. Because that dude can go from 0 to 100 real quick, to quote the infamous Drake. But any more notes you got for this one before we move to the final game on the first day?
Just a bit of love to Justice Winslow. I thought he had a great game. He was only a -4 on the night, which, considering your other plus-minus box scores in that...
Is that Josh Richardson?
Well, you got Hassan Whiteside, -16 in 12 minutes.
What's Josh Richardson got up there?
-30.
Yeah, that's not the best.
From a starting...
perspective.
Yeah. So, it's all relative. A -4 is not bad in the grand scheme of things. Yeah. I thought he had a good game watching him.
Yeah. Nice little piece.
Yeah.
And he can switch on to Ben Simmons, but, you know, Simmons is too good.
Yeah.
And with the space and the perimeter shooting that they had. But we went to the final game of the first day. We had the Pelicans and the Blazers, one of the series that we were most looking forward to. And it wasn't, you know, it wasn't the prettiest of games, like we said about the others, but it was certainly competitive.
It did not disappoint, though.
Down the stretch, you know. But for me, the Pelicans obviously were winners by 2 points, but they looked in control for the entire game. They almost lost a game that they shouldn't have.
But it was dicey towards... I completely agree with you. I watched the first half and then turned it off for a quarter.
Yeah, yeah.
I was doing other stuff.
Yeah.
And then I got a Bleacher Report good old Bleacher Report update that's saying it's like Blazers coming back. They've cut it to like five or something with 5 minutes left. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God. Yeah. I didn't think this was going to happen.
Yeah, I was sort of juggling between a couple of things as well. But basically the main reason why in this is that Jrue Holiday was absolutely sensational on both ends of the floor. Defensively, he is one of the best defensive guards in the NBA right now. If he's on an all-NBA first team defense, I'm sure he will be now after that performance against Damian Lillard. He shut him down. Dame time, I'm not sure when it's going to happen, but you know, there was certainly not many moments in the last game. You know, he sort of helped them late, but Jrue Holiday...
Yeah, that's what it was.
How about
that
block, man?
Oh, it's amazing. The block... And it's so unfortunate that it happened at a Blazers home court because... There was no, it was
no
just
noise.
Like, it was just a sigh. Yeah. It was no sigh. It's the same sort of thing with, we'll talk about it later, the Chris Middleton buzzer beater.
Yeah.
I thought it didn't count.
Yeah.
When I was watching it, I'm just like, no one reacted. I'm just like, did that go in? Like, did it count? But this was the same thing.
Yeah.
It just sort of, it sucked the life out of the... What arena is it? Their arena.
The Blazers, the Portland Hipster Arena, yes. Where they have the chai lattes. Or
but the CJ, what killed him was CJ and Dame started...
Horribly.
Very badly.
Horribly.
I don't have their progressive numbers in front of me, but I know that CJ made his first shot into the second quarter. It was just bad.
When you're keeping both of those guys under 20 points in a clutch game...
Well, you're doing well, yeah.
You're doing well. And I think it was Drew told the reporters after that he was asked about that block and like what was going through his head. So he initially was sort of predicting he was going to give away like just a hard foul. Mm. But then he readjusted and was like, you know, I can get a hand on this. And by golly, he did. And then Anthony Davis obviously was absolutely... No one could guard him.
And we mentioned that beforehand.
It's going to be a problem for Nurkic. Alfred Kamini, I thought, was a much better matchup and looked a lot better on him. Nurkic was almost somewhat of a non-factor, especially when you have Mirotić out there at the five.
And he's another guy who flies under the radar for Pelicans. You think of Pelicans obviously have got one guy.
Yeah.
But Davis's supporting cast is incredible.
Yeah.
They've still got an amazingly good team.
Yeah, they're starting five, you know, you take out like an Etuan Moore. You know, Rondo had like 17 assists, wasn't it? Yeah, he was insane.
Rondo only racked up one steal, but he must have had a lot more deflections and his impact defensively. He had a few strips that might have gone out of bounds.
I feel like
or something.
The main thing was like, you know, if you know, you get past Jrue, you're lucky enough, and then you're met at the rim by Anthony Davis. Those are two of the best defenders in the NBA right now. Like, you've got to be absolutely licking your lips if you're a Pelicans fan or if you're Alvin Gentry. Great game, and I'm sure that it's going to lead to some further great performances going forward, the second game in Portland. But a great upset win of sorts for the Pelicans.
Yeah, definitely.
They'll be taking a heap of confidence going into game two, but every game is a new one. So we'll go on to the very, very early game for us Australian fans and for those listening in Australia.
I mean, people on the East Coast must be loving games like this.
True that. Yeah. If I was in London, I would have been able to watch this one. But
yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I know. But the Celtics were able to pull off the win. They got the job done. It took it till OT. Chris Middleton almost broke the hearts of Boston fans. Terry Rozier just goes, you know what? I'm going to be Michael Jordan for a minute here.
Yeah, that play where he's switched hands. I don't know if he's switched hands, but he's definitely switched positions halfway through a layup. That was incredible.
Al Horford was everywhere. Jason Tatum. I mean, that guy's a rookie. Is he really? And Bainesy, you know, he was doing some nice things. And obviously Jaylen Brown as well. I think the Celtics and the Bucks and Giannis, we can't... 45 minutes, him and Middleton were the crux of this sort of Bucks fight back. And they would have been in if it wasn't for those two. You know, it was when they went small, Al Horford was quite good on Giannis from what I've read and from what I've seen in terms of replays and such. But, you know, these two teams are almost the perfect matchup because... You know, outside of what they've got right now, I doubt they're going to get to pass this second round. You know, Brad Stevens' coaching can only do so much. Giannis can only lift you so much. But if Middleton keeps doing what he's doing, then who knows what can happen. But yeah, it was one of those games that, you know, it was certainly probably the most entertaining game that we've seen so far in this playoff series. But I feel like, you know, the Bucks will take a heap of confidence going into game two. And if Giannis can stay on and, you know, even guys are somewhat lesser for Boston, then I think Giannis has the ability to lead his team to a game two win, like we mentioned in our previous pod.
Definitely. I think a key factor for the Bucks is going to be how well Jabari Parker can play.
That's fair, yeah.
In this series.
He's so up and down.
He didn't play a lot of minutes. I assume that's because he was one of five from the field. He got dragged.
Yeah.
But he's a guy who can turn up. I mean, before his injuries, he was a very reliable scorer. I mean, he could get some points on the board for your team. And I think if the Bucks are going to steal a game, they're not going to steal a series. Like, if they're going to steal a game from the Celtics, which they well and truly can do without Kyrie.
Yeah.
Jabari Parker needs to be out there performing.
Yeah, and I think, yeah, it's the lesser guys, like we mentioned in previous games and the other teams. You know, we saw what happened with the Raptors and their bench was able to sort of lift them. But, yeah, Jabari Parker, and obviously going into a contract season as well, into the offseason, is going to be very interesting for him, what he can do in game two. I reckon he's probably going to come up with a solid performance. I don't rate him that highly, to be honest. I don't think he has a lot of value to a team. I feel like he is somewhat of an empty stats guy. But, you know, the Cavs made history of their own. LeBron James made some history of his own in their loss to the Pacers, Nick. Since 2012, since 2012, LeBron James hasn't lost a game in the first round series. And it happened in game one. And Victor Oladipo, Feathery, he is an absolute sensation. Deserves all the credit in the world. I love this man.
He has just proved once again why he's on top of everyone's list for most improved.
Yeah.
He's gone from decent player to superstar in a season.
Yeah.
Like, those jumps don't... He's jumped quite a few brackets along the way.
He has indeed.
Just in one season. LeBron needs...
Someone.
Love, that's more the point. Well, Love had 17 rebounds today. I'm not entirely sure on his shooting stats, and I can get them
he
up.
He was only 3 of 8 from the field, Nick.
That's not... You can't take 8 shots. It's not great, but you look at other people. Like, Jordan Clarkson went 0 of 3 from range. Corver didn't hit a shot, I don't think.
Yeah, Corver was played off the field.
Jose Calderon had 3 threes and missed all three.
They're going to need that perimeter shooting. We saw what happened with the Sixers. And, you know, J.R. Smith was 3 of 6 in the field. He was probably with Kevin Love. You know, both of them 3 of 6. Their three-point shooting is generally when LeBron looks at his best. Corver's hitting him. Jeff Green's hitting him. Jeff Green didn't make a shot.
To say that, like, these guys lost by 18. Sizable amount. But if you add a few more threes, if that is a close contest coming into the fourth, who knows what LeBron can do when he can take over. So who knows, you know, like, these guys had uncharacteristically bad nights.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
First time playing in the playoffs with LeBron for a lot of these guys.
Yeah.
First time playing in the playoffs at all.
For some of them. Yep.
LeBron's not worried in his press conference, and he's brought to light these facts. And fair enough. Like, I mean, if they get swept at home, like, if it's 2-0 going back to Indiana,
the heat will be on.
Oh, I would be a little bit worried then.
Yeah, buddy.
Because even if they split at in Indiana, they're still 3-1 down.
Yeah.
Which is quite concerning.
I think there needs to be some concern in terms of LeBron's going to do his thing. And Kevin Love's going to get his rebounds, but I feel like it needs to be beyond LeBron. We know LeBron had a triple-double.
Of course.
And it's almost like blasé in what LeBron does. We take it for
LeBron
granted.
LeBron did only hit 24 points. Like, sorry for sounding like a spoilt little brat, but that's not a lot of points for him.
Yeah, 7 of 17 from the field wasn't great.
Yeah.
He did get to the line 14 times, so that's probably what helps elevate it somewhat. But, you know, I feel like, yeah, it's the support cast. Kevin Love needs to be a superstar. And, you know, funnily enough, in rumors, you know, that were going around earlier. Victor Oladipo said that, like, you know, he had that extra motivation because Dan Gilbert had an assessment of Kevin Pritchard saying that they should have got more out of the Paul George trade. Funnily enough, I feel like he sort of did a drame on it and manufactured it a little bit, because also Dan Gilbert wanted to take Victor Oladipo as the first pick when they got Anthony Bennett, but it was talked out of it by his front office. So who knows? Victor Oladipo and the Cavs would be cool. But there's this Indiana underdog sort of mentality that they've got has been with them all season, mm-hmm. and it's driving them in their success. They're a team of sort of underdogs in terms of everyone's counted them out. You look at like a Miles Turner, you look at Bojan Bogdanovic. Did he outplay LeBron James? Well, I guess they got the win.
Well, that's another thing. Like we talk about LeBron and the Cavs not having a good shooting start. Bojan Bogdanovic's standards. He was bad this game. Like, 1-6 from 3.
Yeah.
You expect a lot better from Bogdanovic, that's his only job.
Yes, basically.
5-17 from the field himself. Being an ex-Wizard, I know he's...
And an ex-Net.
Yep. We know what he's capable
of. He's Katy Perry style. He's hot and he's cold.
Exactly. We know what he's capable of. I mean, and then flipping back on the Cavs, if Jeff Green goes 3-7, which still isn't, it's not bad. And 3-7, adding a 3-point shot in there, that's 7 points.
So
and then it becomes 11 points. So you know, and just a little bit of production from everyone is all it needs.
Yeah. So basically, they need to hit a few more shots.
Yeah.
They need to play a bit more defense, but that's been their case all year. They were 29th in defense. They're the worst defensive team in the playoffs right now.
Yeah.
And I feel like this sort of grinded out mentality suits Indiana much more. You know, if you keep the Cleveland Cavaliers to 80 points, you are going to win. You keep the Cleveland Cavaliers under 100, I think you have a very, very good chance of winning. This is a team that wants to play offense, offense, offense. If it's a shootout, I'll back the Cavs in any day of the week. But if it's a grind session, this is Indiana. So, you know, going into game two, Indiana got all the confidence in the world. I reckon they'd be favorites. I'm going to put it out there that they'd be favorites for game two.
After this one, well, they were in control. They're in control the whole game. Cavs never led, which is
never lost.
So, from LeBron not losing a playoff first round never. Since 2012,
yeah.
to not being in front ever in the first game.
Interesting stat. I wonder if we could find that out. Let's get our statisticians on it.
Yeah, well, that's right.
You used to be the stats man, Nick. Used to be.
I have a job now, Jack.
Yes, your job is to put up buckets,
find stats.
Yes. Next game.
Jazz OKC. This one.
What did we say before in our last pod?
Paul George hits his shots and OKC win.
Bang. That's almost a drop mic moment, but I don't want to because this is my dad's mic and he'll get very angry at me. But it is. It's a drop mic moment. He was after the All-Star game, he was saying how his mechanics felt off. And since then, he's been like, I think he's like 51% from three or something. So since that comment, the forthright honesty, I mean, I was worried about that comment. But since then, he's been absolutely awesome. Joe Thringles, him and our Aussie mate had a bit of a scuffle. But it almost, you don't want to poke the bear. I felt like that's what it did for Paul George because he went on an absolute tear. You know, Russ was doing some nice things. Steven Adams, Rudy Gobert, you know, he was good. Donovan Mitchell was more of the force. There was a stat about Ricky Rubio when he's above 8 points, when he scores like 8 points or more or 10 points or more. The Jazz are like, you know, 22 and like 6 or something. Don't quote me on that, but they have a winning record. But when he's under 8 points and he shoots poorly from the field, they're like below 400.
Well, that's the thing. Like watching this game, you leave... It essentially becomes a 5-on-4 because Rubio is you don't need to guard him.
Yeah.
Like off a screen, he was roaming into midcourt. Openly, yeah. No one challenging him, and rightly so, he's taking the shot. He's missing. He shot less than 30% today, and it's wasted offense.
It is.
Essentially.
Yeah.
When you've got such a massive shooting liability in this. I'm speaking specifically of this game because there are games again, like when Rubio can light it up. I think early in the season he was shooting magnificent numbers from three, and no one knew where the hell that came from because this is Ricky Rubio.
Yeah.
But in terms of offense, it was definitely more of a Donovan Mitchell show.
27 points and rebounds.
Exactly. And when Rubio was putting up, you know, going up the court, those open shots that he had just weren't falling. And it was quite upsetting.
Yeah, there were some injury worries throughout this game. Paul George, a hip contusion. He said he's going to be fine. I think he said he's never going to miss a playoff game ever.
Yeah.
So I'm sure if he gets his like head chopped off or something, he doesn't
he
have...
He might miss it.
Well, I mean, he's still got his arms. He can still shoot.
You could shoot Paul George's head.
Donovan Mitchell, he said he had a toe. He had x-rays, which came up negative. He said he just stubbed it. It was funny seeing the footage where like the trainers had him and they were inspecting him. And he's like, let me on. And we won't say the expletive. I'm pretty sure we swore before, but like, yeah, he swore. And he's like, let me effing on, which was cool. And then Steven Adams late in the game, you know, he's... forcefully threw down this alley from Russell Westbrook, which was insane, and he had a bit of a sore wrist. But you know, Steven Adams, I feel like you know, if you're not going to kill Khal Drogo,
a sore wrist for Steven Adams would break a normal man's arm.
Yeah, pretty much. That man is horrifically tough. He is, yes. Mitchell was great. Ricky Rubio, I feel like it is almost like you mentioned, Nick, an odd key to the Jazz this series. You know, Joe Ingles, I feel like they need to get a more out of. You can't be like we said before. You can't rely on a rookie to sort of win it for you. Mm. We saw what happened with Simmons. Simmons was great, but look at the support that he got from JJ Redick, Ersan Ilyasova, Robert Covington.
I mean, how often do you see Ricky Rubio taking 18 shots in a game?
Yeah,
like that's a rarity in itself. He's always been a pass-first defensive point guard. And I think... I don't know whether we've gotten direct orders from Snyder to play in a more offensive way, but you've got offensive weapons on the court. And in terms of ranking, Ricky Rubio's fourth on that list.
I know, but at the same time, like if your starting lineup has Joe Ingles, Derek Favors, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and Ricky Rubio, you know, obviously the ball's going to be in the hands of Donovan Mitchell a lot. So if he's playing, if Ricky Rubio's playing an off-ball role, it doesn't suit him. And Quinn Snyder runs a lot of great sets that get him some nice looks. So maybe it's sort of a mentality of what happened with the Cavs. He just needs to make a few more. And then, you know, I feel like this series is going to be very close. The Jazz could have easily taken out this one. Paul George isn't going to be lights out every game. You know, he was hitting some ridiculously tough contested shots. So I think Mitchell he mentioned the post game, and he's like, "Look, if that's what that's going to beat us, then you know, I don't think they're going to be able."
It was
to do
a
that.
Tone. It was tone setting as well.
Yeah.
Jazz started the game hot, but at the end of the first quarter, or maybe the first half, was it? I think OKC's big three had 9, 8, and 7, or something like that.
Yeah.
They were just hitting shots, and then from that point, it just snowballed.
Yeah.
You know,
momentum.
Yeah, exactly. Paul George obviously went on his amazing, amazing run.
Yep.
Watching him absolutely carve up. And there's nothing Rudy Gobert can do. Like, he's an interior protector.
Yeah.
They weren't driving.
Nah.
They didn't have to.
There was some times where Russell's penetration, though, it created some nice looks. And the 1-2 game with him and Steven Adams, I love. It's going to be interesting to see how game 2 pans out, because I feel like it's a completely new ball game. You know, there weren't many sort of things that you could take away other than the fact that Paul George was awesome, Donovan Mitchell was awesome, and
you had good production from people like Abrinas as well. And that's all he needs to do is pop out to the three and hit him.
Yep.
And he went 2 of 5.
Yep.
Like,
but Nick, final game. Final game. Minnesota Timberwolves, Houston Rockets. A lot closer than we all expected. Houston Rockets are only 3-point winners. But to me, watching the game in full, it didn't seem like Houston were really bothered at all. They seemed to have control for most of it.
There was a few
up and
down
moments.
There were a few lead changes in this one, but I completely agree with you. The feel of the game was just like...
Their 3-point shooting was trash.
Like, yeah, I mean, they were not shooting well at all. I remember Patrick Patterson was hitting a few amazing ones.
Yeah,
obviously,
PJ Tucker.
Patrick Patterson's the Raptors, isn't
Thunder.
He? Thunder.
He used to be
for the Raptors.
Yeah.
All of these names start melding into one. All these role players.
Yep.
But yeah, PJ Tucker, I remember him hitting two threes. But
one of five he was.
1-3. must have just duplicated in my head. But James Harden, as always, oh man.
7-12 from three.
He is a juicy, juicy man.
His step backs, and the main thing that I think that was taken away from this game was, like, is his step back a travel? And, like, one of them by...
Really?
Yeah, because he moved his pivot foot in some of them. Not all of them, but the refs... The stars get the ref calls. Like, they don't get it. So, I mean, there's plenty that I'm sure you can call, but it's like, really? So, yeah, there was one that was, like, done to death. And you look at it, his pivot foot does move. He does take a step, an extra step. But at the end of the day, it's one of the most unguardable players in basketball right now, ISO James Harden. And Jimmy Butler was good-ish. But
well, when you're absolutely clowning Jimmy Butler, you know that your offense is... Like, I'm not knocking Jimmy Butler's defense at all, but
no.
It's just a testament to how good James Harden is. Like... There was one play down where Jimmy was doing his hustle plays, getting right up in his face, and Harden spun, got him on his back, and just essentially he could have walked to the basket, and he just got an open layup.
Everyone says about the deceleration of James Harden, his ability to sort of just dictate the pace and tempo, but Clint Capella was, for me, a huge presence in the first half. Yes, without him, definitely. I don't think they won that game. His verticality, 20 points in the first half, and finishing, I think, with 24.
He had three blocks himself. Like, he was big defensively.
He was awesome on both ends. He was absolutely awesome. He absolutely blanketed Karl Anthony Towns whenever they had him. But a stat, Nick, that I'm sure for plenty of NBA fans that they might have seen, if you're active on Twitter, at the JManJBT for me, at JBT Nick for Nicholas. This is via Justin Fan. Wolves game one usage. Karl Anthony Towns, 14.2%. Jimmy Butler, 15.6%. Jamal Crawford, 22.2%. Wiggins, 25.7%. Teague, 26.4%. Gorgie Jang, 28.6%. And Derrick Rose, 30.8%. You can't have your two best players having the ball half less than Derrick Rose, Nick. Jesus.
To be fair, Rose had a good game.
And he was like -9 from the field. Like, he just didn't have a positive impact on the game at all. He was good, but he's not your guy you're running the offense through. Is it like 2011 Tom Thibodeau again? Like, seriously, come on. Like, Karl Anthony Towns, like, there were moments where he needed to be a bit more active and aggressive. His mentality needs to change going into game two. I feel like that could be a big sort of boost for them. The fact that they were so close and still only just lost to this Rockets team with Karl Anthony Towns barely playing a role is a positive somewhat. But yeah, he needs to be more aggressive in demanding the ball in the post because he had so many mismatches. And like, he is just a beast in there and he needs to be fed. The dude needs to eat. Like, come on, those stats are ridiculous. Towns only having 14.2% of the ball.
Yeah.
F off.
Tell us what you really think.
Yeah.
Towns seemed a little bit shaky. I know I can recall a few times where he's missed... Maybe putbacks, or where he's been right up close to the right into the key and missing the shots that he would normally make. I think it just might be a case of first game blues. Butler should be doing better. His shooting percentages weren't amazing today.
The injury might be affecting him a little.
Could be. But it's just been a tale of the second half of the Wolves seasons.
Yeah.
The Wolves season this year. Butler needs to be playing. And Butler needs to be firing.
It needs to be Butler and Towns.
Any hope.
Yeah, it needs to be the Butler and Towns show. Yeah. That's basically it. And I feel like they have an edge somewhat with Towns offensively over Capella. But the fact that Capella outplayed him on both ends of the floor is just, you know, if that's going to happen, then the Rockets are a gimme because there are so many areas they hold over Minnesota in terms of their shooting and their spacing and everything else. And James Harden obviously was outstanding. Chris Paul was poor by his own standards. So I feel like, you know, it's odd to see, you know, James Harden step up and Chris Paul not, because he's normally a real proven playoff performer. Obviously, he hasn't got to the finals, but, you know, they're not going to have, you know, Chris Paul shooting so poorly in game two. So there's a lot of worrying signs for Minnesota if the Brooms, they could be heading out very soon.
Yeah. The Rockets were the Rockets have are an amazing team. They're an amazing regular season team, and it only makes sense that this form and this sort of desire has continued on into the playoffs. It's just unfortunate for the T-Wolves. You know, we were saying the Blazers are the unluckiest team.
Yeah.
I think the T-Wolves have a case to be made.
Yeah, that could be.
Because, yeah, I mean, being absolutely firing, and then for the season they had to finish eighth and possibly get kicked out of the Rockets, kicked out first round by the Rockets, doesn't quite do
justice.
What they were doing early justice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fair, Nick. But before we don't have a script for this one, guys, so we're going to try and do the ending spiel off our heads if we can.
Oh, God.
But
this is a nightmare.
Going into tomorrow's games, Nick, the Heat and the Sixers and San Antonio and Golden State, any predictions there? Give me a quick one.
I think Heat and Sixers, that's it's just going to continue.
I reckon Heat are going to steal
more
one.
More or less the same Sixers.
I'm going to give the Heat. I'm going to reckon they're going to steal
they're
one.
Heat aren't going to win one until they get home.
Oh, all right. There we go.
Well, so, which is the next game.
Basically.
After this one.
So we shall say in that.
Sixers culture, Sixers fans, Sixers, like.
Everything.
They're amazing at home.
They're
like,
formed.
I feel like that arena is a bit of a fortress for them, especially in the playoffs.
That's a good point.
Fans want this so bad.
Yeah. The Spurs and Golden State, I feel like it's probably going to be more of the same. LaMarcus is going to have to step up, but yeah, I can't see the Golden State losing.
I think it'll be closer.
I feel like, it'll definitely be closer.
I think that this will sort of snap the Spurs into be like, we're getting embarrassed here.
Yeah.
We need to play.
Yeah.
I still think Warriors will win, but I think it might only be maybe 2 or 3 points.
Yeah.
Or it'll be a close contest until the benches come out.
Yeah, I expect both of these teams, after feeling each other out and having a scouting report of each other, after that sort of first game, we'll be able to sort of go, okay, look, this is what we need to do. And that's why I'm giving Miami one, because I reckon they're going to sneak one. They might split it.
Wayne Ellington will absolutely fire from three.
Kelly Olynyk will do his thing.
You'll see the Johnson, they're not brothers, but the Johnson brothers.
The Johnsons.
The Johnsons.
The James and the Tylers.
There are three Johnsons on that court at the same time.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
Tyler, Amir, and James.
Yeah, I'm very confused about the Johnson. The Johnson is a very popular name in America. Yeah.
It's the son of John. Son of John.
Son of John.
We've
got the son of John. Son. Yeah, the son of John, son.
I've been watching too much Peaky Blinders.
Yeah. Shout out to Cillian Murphy and Tom Hardy.
Mm-hmm.
If you guys want to guest on our pod, hit us up on email.
Please do.
JRT podcast@gmail.com.
Cillian.Murphy.
@org.
@CillianMurphy.com.
All right. So thanks. Oh, God, I don't know how to do this.
So just as ever, guys, I've got it. Thank you for listening to this episode of Just Ball Things. If you want to hit us up on Twitter, you can do so at @TheJManJBT is Jack.
This, Nicholas.
And @JBTNick is myself. You should also hit up @OTGBasketball. You can read some fire content. This is all ad-libbed.
He's done well.
Some fire content written by Jack and a lot of other contributors there. They've also released about 70 different podcasts over this playoff series.
We've
got
plenty of them coming for you. I might be on one or two.
Very, very comprehensive there. So definitely check that out.
Are we on Facebook, Nick?
We are on Facebook, actually. You can just search Just Ball Things. You'll find us there. You can hit us up on email. We'll read them on the show at
JBTpodcast@gmail.com. Please do. We've hit a couple. Farhad, Edward, thank you very much. Yep. We want number three. Who's going to be number three? Who's on the podium?
I might have to create an alias and just email myself.
Yes. Maybe. We've got plenty of content coming.
All right. So just as ever, guys. What do I say here? We appreciate
any and every
post heading our way.
Yep. So until
next week.
Keep balling, Superstar.